اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين سيما بقية الله العزام وفق الله خيرا لكم وكنتم مؤمنين ولعنة الدائم على أعدائهم وغاسب حقوقهم ومنكر فضائلهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين أما بعد السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله
السلام عليكم
إن شاء الله. First of all, I would like to thank the Ahlul Bayt Center here, the brothers and those who have worked for me to be at your service to serve the lovers of Ahlul Bayt, the lovers of Imam Hussein Islam. It's indeed an honor in Sweden. As the theme of discussion is what we have really gathered from the month of Muharram, and I will just highlight a few points, maybe three, in relation to the purpose of or the main elements that we should have extracted out from the Azad Ali of Imam Hussein, and then we'll look at a few other issues such as Usul-e-Din, which was asked by some of the brothers here. See, the act of ours and its value, it really depends upon the intention. We all know that. And indeed, when it comes to the Azadari of Imam Hussein, as you also have read the banner outside from Imam Khomeini, rahmatullah alayhi, where he says that whatever we have is from Muharram and Safar. So this really points out to that what has remained of Islam and what we have of our identity is indeed from the Majalis of Abu Abdullah Hussein alayhi salam. And one of the things that is important there is that element of us attending it. Every act of ours should be what? Qurbatan ilallah. Should be for this nearness to God. Our act should be for the nearness to our God. However, we going to the Majlis of Imam Hussein might not have the same intention carried out in the same fashion as we do before Salah. For example, I pray Salah now in our mind, Qurbatan ilallah, Allahu Akbar, and we begin, right? But we just go to Majlis of Imam Hussein. It's Muharram, you know, it's first night, second night, this is the speaker, and we go there, and he's giving a good talk, and we discuss about what he's discussing, this is the topic, so on and so forth. There isn't an intention in that way as we do it for Salat. But however, the beauty of Azadari of Imam Hussein is that even without you making the intention, it becomes and it brings you closer to God. I mean, that's the beauty of Imam Hussein. That's the beauty of Azadari of Imam Hussein. Every act of ours should be Qurbatan ilallah. Yes, indeed, when I'm going to the Azadari of Imam Hussein, must have that intention. It is for that. We should remind us that that should be there. And that will protect us from many errors that might happen when I go attend the Azadari. Maybe I go there, you know, for the Qurbatan ilallah, I make that intention. Now, I will not backbite, I will not gossip, I will not do this, I will not do that, I will not, you know, ease al mu'min, I will not hurt a mu'min when I'm in the premises of Majalis. You know, all of these factors will come to my mind. But why? Because it's Qurbatan ilallah. But even if that intention doesn't come in the mind of mine, this act itself will bring nearness to God. And that is why we see people saying, or scholars or awliya saying, that whatever we have is because of Muharram. So from the Azadari of Imam Hussein, one of the things that we should have extracted from Muharram, one of the things that we should have got is that qurb, that nearness to God. And as a matter of fact, we feel that, you know, when the month of Muharram comes and we attend continuously, sincerely, with whatever sincerity. See, Muharram, especially the first 10 days, are so unique that, you know, each and every individual, with utmost sincerity, whatever he has, he brings them out. He tries his level best to show gratitude, to show his love to Imam Hussain. On whatever level he may be. You know, he may be, for example, busy at work, but still in the evening he will make sure that at least for first 10 nights he will go, no matter how tired he is, because of Imam Hussain. Maybe he's living in a far place, but when it comes to majalis, he will drive 3-4 hours just to attend the majlis. Or, for example, he will walk to the haram of Imam Hussain, as we see in the television how people walk. So, the love of Imam Hussain is as it is placed in the hearts of mu'mineen, as there is hararat, as they say, the hadith says, there is hararat in the qulub al-mu'mineen. That requires to bring out the utmost sincerity from oneself on whatever level I am. Maybe, you know, I might be just an organizer here, and here I will work hard to my level to really bring that out, that sincerity to our Abdullah. I could be a speaker. You know, I would say that no problem. You know, somebody asked me to come to the house. Yes, I will come to your house. I will come to your house. In other days, I will be a bit, you know, but when it comes for the first 10 days, and as Imam Hussain, you know, that thing is not there in the mind. So one really brings that sincerity out. And that is why, and it's not easy. And that is why you find, you know, the day of Ashura particularly to be a very heavy day. It's very sangheen. It's very heavy. You know, people are, the ninth night, you know, people are awake at night, trying their level best, remembering about Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And the day of Ashura, it's, apart from that sorrow, it's a heavy day. You feel very tired and weak. Why? Because that is the final day, that is the final event, you know, which is the day of Ashura. So, that's the day where it has reached its peak. That sincerity has reached its peak. It has reached its perfection. And the same applies not only for us in this time, but even it applied for all of the companions of Imam Hussain on the day of Ashura as well. Whatever they had in terms of their life, in terms of their children, in terms of their expertise, whether that be in warfare, whether that be in speeches, whether that be in poetry, they manifested that on the day of Ashura. So the day of Ashura is such a day, and the majalis of Imam Hussain are so that each and every individual bring that utmost sincerity that he has in him and delivers it to Abu Abdullah Hussain. And obviously, in return of this is what? In return of this, for these ashab of Imam Hussain, that they've been included in Ziyarat al-Nahya. And Imam Zaman cries and recites, gives salutations and salams to them. Their name have remained with the name of Hussain. That's their, they have delivered that. And in the same manner, for the, all those who work towards that Azadari, who work towards that Muharram, you know, it's the same thing. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings them near and gives them that wujud, that existence, that baqa, you know, that they will see and they feel in this very dunya. So one of the things, the first thing that the Azadari and Muharram should have done is that qurb, that nearness. And as we all know, when that qurb happened to take place, how life changes. As there is a hadith from the Prophet, as you all know, that hadith of Qurb al-Nawafil, that through Nawafil, you know, my servant will come so close to me that I become his ear, I become his vision, I become, you know, his hand. So that nearness brings about that. and the Azadari of Imam Hussein Islam and the Muharram is the swift and fastest vehicle. Been mentioned by Masumin. You know, all of the Imams are Safina Nijah. You know, they asked our 8th Imam Imam Raza alayhi salam that why, you know, is not all Imams Safina Nijah? Then why Imam Hussein is particularly mentioned that he's Safina Nijah? The Imam replied that yes, all of the Imams are Safina Nijah. But the Safina of Hussein is also is much bigger and is much quicker. So that is why you find that pull, that attraction of humanity towards Abu Abdullah Hussein. That people are attracted, people have put the pen on the paper, people have taken lessons from Imam Hussein. For example, Gandhi, nothing to do with it. But he says, you know, I learned it from Abu Abdullah. You know, he himself mentions that. I mean, the Imam Hussein's Azadari, Imam Hussein's mission and the uprising is so important that it gives success. Although, even though the person who is taking lesson might not be a Muslim or a Shia, but still he will, you know, he will be granted success. Where, for example, in the case of Gandhi. That's the beauty, is also, you know, the Safina is much, much bigger. So the Muharram should have given us that boost to come closer to God. That's number one. Number two is where it should have provided us with knowledge. You know, the majalis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and as a matter of fact, we see that every Muharram we tend to gain something. You know, there's sometimes conscious attending of a majlis, meaning that I live in a city where there are four, for example, lecturers, four people giving a talk. So I would prefer that, okay, because the majalis should bring about knowledge to me, and it does, for example, I would go and sit in the sessions where Abai Jawali is speaking, and I gain that knowledge. And by the end of Muharram, I realize that I have gained knowledge through Muharram, right? And sometimes we don't have a choice, or sometimes we just attend because it is majalis of Imam Hussein, that love that we have, we are attending, right? Without that serious intention that I go sit in a lecture which is given by a filsuf, masala, for example, you know, by a philosopher. But the beauty of Azadari of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is that whether a person attends with that intention of increasing knowledge or not, he will be provided with the essence of knowledge. And you have seen that, and that is one of the reasons why you find no matter where Shias live, you know, they might be living in a place where there is zero literacy rate, but there is majalis of Imam Hussein, and they attend the majalis of Imam Hussein. So you will see the Shias to be different in terms of their comprehension, in terms of their understanding of reality, compared to some other person. Why is that? Because what is knowledge? Knowledge is a state or is a station upon which a person expands his chest, so to speak. A person's capacity to visualize, to see, to understand things, realities, expands. You know, it has that capacity, that zarf. Not necessarily that I go to a university and be taught, for example. You know, I could be taught in the university, but when it comes to my mentality and my understanding, I'm the most, you know, so to speak, arrogant person. You know, oh yes, everything is false, but only my deen is correct, and or my thinking or my ideology or my research is the best research. You know, I disrespect everybody. Although I have studied in the university, although I have got a degree, for example, but what good this degree have given me? It have, you know, narrow my mind, rather than, you know, broadening my mind and understanding. So the Majalis of Islam tends to, regardless whether a person in terms of, you know, finish 5 books in the Hausa, so to speak, or 10 books in the university, or 4 years in the university, but it will provide him with that insight to reality and things. And that is why you find that, you know, the difference between a person, you know, attending a majalis of Imam Hussein in a place where there is zero literacy rate, but still, you know, he has that big heart, that he has that understanding, that insight of things compared to, you know, other individuals. So the beauty is that the majalis of Imam Hussein and the Muharram itself will bring about, regardless of I attending that majlis, that session, that discussion, while knowing that, oh, this person is qualified, that is why I'm going, in order to I increase my knowledge or not. That's the beauty of Muharram. That's the beauty of Azad Ali Imam Hussein. That it delivers that. It gives us the expansion of heart, where one looks at how, you know, Imam Hussein alayhi salam goes to the tent of Wahab and inquires to the mother that, how you been? And she says that, you know, all is well except that there is scantity of water. And then he takes a well for her. She's a Christian. But Imam Hussein digs the well for her. And then after that, what he says? That I'm going to Karbala, come and join me. And the Wahab comes back, inquires what happened, and says, and how come there's a spring, there's a well there, in the back of the tent. And then the mother says that the grandson of Prophet Hussein ibn Ali came, and then he spoke to me, and then he asked me, how am I doing, how is the business, how is the affair? I complained that I have no water, then, you know, he digged open the well for me, or miraculously he struck the spear, and the spring came out, for instance. Then he says that, how does he look like? He look like, you know, he just looked like Isa Masih. That's his appearance, was like just Jesus Christ. That's how he looked like, the Noor. She's a Christian. Her vision, her understanding of reality is different compared to how, for example, you have people who recognize that he's, you know, Ali Abba recognized that was Hussein ibn Ali, daughter of Fatima, was still didn't see that Noor. For her, the ultimate Noor is Isa. And then he sees, and then she sees Imam Hussein, and she says that it was just like, and then they went. Although they were Christians, but they went. Okay, now look at this, where she's been provided with life, the family being provided with life. What more a family wants when they are living in the desert? I mean, well is like, you know, it's a great bank balance. You know, if someone have lots of money today, you know, we'll be happy, want nothing else. So well during that time is that. But what did she do? She went to Abu Abdullah Hussein. So that is the beauty of Muharram and the Azadari of Imam Hussein. Through these lessons, whether I be educated or not, it broadens our heart to other faith, to other individual, to other society. It teaches us the lesson of humanity, lesson of sacrifice. The third thing which Muharram should have given us is really that perfection of disconnection. Now, as we recite in the Munajat of Amirul Mu'mineen, the Munajat of Shabaniya, which is Munajat of Amirul Mu'mineen, not the Mawlaya Mawlaya, but the Munajat of Shabaniya, إِلَٰهِ حَبْلِي كَمَانُ لِمْ قَتَعِيَيْكَ وَنِرْ أَبْصَارُ قُلُوبًا عَمِدِي آيَانَ دَرَحِيَيْكَ حَتَّى تَغْرِقَ أَبْصَارُ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْمُورِ. That, O Allah, provide me with the perfection of disconnection. إِلَٰهِ حَبْلِي كَمَانُ لِمْ قَتَعِيَيْكَ. O Allah, give me the perfection of disconnection. That means that even in disconnecting ourselves from this dunya, there is perfection. Not only in this connection, not only in connection there is perfection, ittisal, but in this connection there is perfection as well, kamalul inqita. So the Muharram and the Majalis should at least should have provided with that element that we get disconnected from this zawahir, from this maddiyat, from this material world that we have. So that we pass through, you know, in this dua he's talking about hujub al-nur, that we tear apart the veils of light. You know what that is? You know, people of the path will know that. But kamalul inqita, but that disconnection should have been, you know, we should have taken lesson, we should have got out of the majalis of Imam Hussain and Muharram is that. And as a matter of fact, it does. You know, when we look at, you know, Honor Muhammad, when you look at, you know, how the Sahabis, how the Bani Hashim, they sacrificed themselves for Imam Hussain alayhi salam. And then what went after that? So therefore, you know, the Muharram and the Majalis should have given us that element, that purpose of Imam Hussain alayhi salam. You know, that is important. Where we are, what we are, who we are, what language we speak. You know, John was a black slave of Abu Sa'd. He comes to Abu Abdullah and he says, "When is my turn?" Abu Abdullah says that, "You're not going, you are free. Is it my color or is it my sweat?" Says, you know, you are free. What does a slave want? Slave will work all his life just to get his freedom, so that his future generation remains free. I mean, the perfection for a slave, the kamal for a slave, is that he wants to buy his freedom. That's the ultimate goal. Here Imam Hussain says, "You are free, John. Not only you are just free, but you are worried about the hereafter. Don't worry. You know, the shafaat of ours is there. Of our Prophet is there. I guarantee that. You know, we'll take care of you in the hereafter as well." What does John want? He says, "No. You know, I want to sacrifice myself. I want my blood to be with your blood." And that's how he went. He tears his shirt. And they asked him, "Are you crazy?" He said, "Yes, I'm crazy in love of Hussein." That's John. So therefore, you know, even after achieving that freedom, even after achieving that ultimate thing that a slave really wants, the dunya, so to speak. And not only just the dunya, the guarantee from the grandson of the Prophet, the hereafter as well. But still, that's inqita. That's a disconnection from everything. Zuhair, if it be so that we be killed for 70 times and we be burnt and our ashes be thrown different corners of the world, but still if we were given life, we will sacrifice for you. That is the ultimate message that we get from the Ashab, is that disconnection from everything and connecting to the Imam. Which was Hussain. And even this year, this for us is the 12th Imam. Abul Fazl, you know, for where we know that when Amir al-Mu'mineen mentions to his cousin that I have a desire, you know, your desire and I desire something else. You know, Amir al-Mu'mineen desires something else. You know, you and I desire is with our capacity, with our understanding. Here, Amir al-Mu'mineen is saying that I desire. So imagine what that desire would be, that to have a son. And it was Abbas. Abbas was the desire of Amir al-Mu'mineen. So you can see that, you know, in Siffin, as you all know, and you have heard, as Muharram have passed, we are in Safar now. You know, he came in Siffin, people thought it's Hazrat Amir. You know, as he unveiled himself, they said, "Oh, it's Abbas, son of Haydar." They couldn't recognize in terms of his chivalry, in terms of, you know, how he attacked the ranks, you know, how he galloped the horse, how he used his spear and sword and bow and arrow. So they say it's no one but Amir. But when he unveiled himself, it was Abul Fazl. And he was a teenager at that time. He was very young. And on the day of Ashura, he's not been given permission to fight. Then he said, whatever the Imam says. So the reality of Abul Fazl is not that he defeats the enemy as he could have done that. There's no doubt about it. But the reality is that surrender to the Imam of the time. So the desire of Ali is not really that he wants a person who is like a strong and who could defeat the enemy, so on and so forth. That is there. But the importance is that no, how after having all of that skills, when it comes to the Imam of the time, when it comes to Imam, surrender everything. You know, ikhlas, sincere, to loyal, to whatever Imam says. That I may not be granted permission to fight, fine. What is this? This is nothing but inqita, it's nothing but disconnecting from oneself, one's possession, one's knowledge or art of war or whatever. For who? For the Imam. So the Muharram Majalis and the month of Muharram should have provided us with that. That whatever I'm in, whatever understanding I have, I should move further. I should leave that, improve myself, you know, disconnect even from the understanding I'm saying. You know, that's the ultimate. Sometimes we have certain things and understanding in our mind, and we think that is it. But it's much higher than that. As they say that if a person, you know, we will get into the discussion of Tawheed, so, and they say that, you know, the greatest way to understand God is negation of even the Asma. Even if someone say that this Allah's name is Rahman, he has limited him as to that. He's much above that, he's par excellence. So therefore, even sometimes our understandings become a hijab for us. It has to be higher. You know, Allah Ta'ala's tafsir of Ihdina as-Sirat al-Mustaqim, that's what he says. You know, people tend to say that, you know, keep us on the right path instead of, you know, guide us on the right path or show us the right path. But Allah says that, no, it's, you know, show us the right path. Because the Sirat have darajat, there are levels of it. You know, show us the higher daraja. Yes, we are on the Sirat Mustaqim. But show us a higher daraja. So therefore, whatever I am attached to, I should come out of that. Whatever color I have taken, I have to come out of that. Acquire higher daraja, higher color, higher understanding. Whether that be in our understanding, whether that be in our dunya, in our worldly affairs. You know, it is really these majalis that really boost us to, or give us courage to do something for Deen, for Imam Hussain. I mean, if it wasn't for these majalis, I wouldn't be sitting here where I'm sitting. It is really these majalis that brings us change in us. You know, it's through this majlis I listened, I sat, I saw, I spoke to the scholars who came, and then they said that, okay, you go and study. And it's something that, you know, brothers and sisters have to think about, that they have to do that. Otherwise, you know, it's not going to work this way. Someone have to go from here. Indeed, it's not easy. It's hard, you know, to get the permission from the parents to leave the dunya and all that. It's not easy. But one really have to take that step. And obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one, for example, the fourth Imam, as they say, that his color will change when he would find out that the young lad is studying, you know, is educating himself in deen. You know, that's how it's been mentioned. That he will become so happy when he hears that someone is educating him. himself in thee. So that disconnection has to take place. Unless or otherwise, there is no Islam. That there is no reform. You know, and I'll wrap it up with one hadith, inshallah, because I don't want it to be long today, tonight. And that is, what was the wasiyat of Imam Hussein? You know, that I'm not leaving, you know, in vain or to create ikhtilaf or for corruption or for power, but li-islah, for reform. I want to create a reform. So Islam is not only Islam of Imam Hussein then, but Islam for today as well. We have to bring a reform in our lifestyle. We have to bring a reform in our house, in our community. Every Muharram there should be reform. Because the message of Imam Hussein, the wasiyat of Imam Hussein is hayy. As Imam Hussein is hayy. You know, as shahada alive. So therefore, his wasiyat is, you know, لطلب الإصلاح في جدي, في جدي. You know, in the في جدي أمتي. In order to create reform in the nation of my grandfather. That's my purpose. That's the reason of my uprising. That's why I'm leaving. So therefore, our communities, our first of all, our own self should bring that reform in us, in our families, you know, family values, habits, so on and so forth. Our communities as such, at large, should look into how to reform it, not the same trend that we are following. It's good, but we have to improve. We have to go on a higher level or a different level. And the state as well, you know, if we are capable of doing that. So these are the things which are very important. First of all, is that nearness, the ultimate to begin with. And alhamdulillah, we see that there's a change in us because of Muharram. And that have to go on, that should extend and expand to our universities, to our colleges, to our dealings with our friends. You know, it should expand and extend to that. And then you have the aspect of knowledge, should have increased in our knowledge and understanding. Then the aspect of inqita, disconnection from this dunya and from the things that we have mentioned, and also Islam and the reform. You know, I always emphasize on this in terms of the issues and the masail of maqtal. However, that is not my topic, but I will just mention in the margin, is that if you look at the whole harakat of Imam Hussain, the uprising, you know, this whole thing was nothing but reflecting Tawheed. Tawheed amali, Tawheed in action. Each and every shaheed have that element and aspect. And as a matter of fact, you know, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein was the one who did that tarbiyah. He was the one who trained all of them to bring out the best in them so that Tawheed is established. What did Yazid want? Yazid wanted to uproot Tawheed completely. He wanted to uproot the deen. But it backfired him. Why? Because the champion of the Tawheed was Abu Abdullah al-Hussein. On the day of Ashura, after the sacrifice of Imam Hussein, what did Sayyidah Zainab Salamu Alayha said when she lifted Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, the body without his head, and she lifts it, and he said, Allahumma taqabbal minna hadha al-qaleel. It is literally impossible to regard that Hazrat Zainab Salamu Alayha would have regarded her brother as qaleel, means little, because the amount of love Zainab had and the amount of understanding in terms of the maqam of imamat of Imam Hussein and the maqam of kamal of Imam Hussein, that she would regard Imam Hussein as little. But in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, she says qaleel. Just like Ashadwana Muhammad, Abduhu, right? He's Abd, his slave. I'm the greatest faqir. Rabbi Zindi Ilma, the Prophet is saying, I know nothing. You know, when they came, you know, usually recently this question was asked in Surah Saad. There's a discussion when they asked the Prophet about the Malaika speaking to each other about, you know, how the Adam, you know, generation will create corruption in land. And then they came, they asked the Prophet said, I know nothing. Although, in terms of our belief, we know that أَوَّلُ مَا قَلَقَ اللَّهِ نُورِ the first thing God created is Muhammad and light.
اللهم صل على محمد
وآل محمد. From this Muhammad and light, the creation have been created, right? But what the Prophet said, I know nothing. This is the humility and the humbleness of the Prophet in front of God. Whatever wahi comes to me, I know that it's from God. I know nothing. Hadith-e Mi'raj, as you all know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is questioning the Prophet, do you know? He said, I know nothing. So when Hazrat Zainab is saying that Haza Qaleel, means that she knows that the greatness and the sovereignty of God, and how great God is, then this sacrifice is really nothing. So Yazid really wanted to uproot Tawheed completely, uproot Deen completely. But on the other hand, it really backfired. And he thought, the more amount of pain I will give, the more I persecute them, they will be involved in crying, they will be involved in their own, you know, pain and so on and so forth. But it really was completely opposite. Tawheed was established more. And that is because of that training of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein, you know, in terms of himself and also of the Ashab. All of the Ashab, they were sincere and pure believers in Tawheed, in that usul, in that principles of Deen. And as a matter of fact, now I will conclude by mentioning this. As we say in that Imam Hussein is Sifi Safi Nijah, and there's another Imam who's known as Safi Nijah. There are only two Imams who's known as Safi Nijah. Other Imams, yes, like the eight Imams, we are all Safi Nijah. You know, we are all, you know, the Ark of Salvation. Safi Nijah means the Ark of Salvation. But Imam Hussein is known, and the other one is a 12th Imam, who's also known as Safi Nijah. In today's Ziyarat, we recite that. Ziyarat of Friday of the 12th Imam, that, you know, we should recite every Friday, the Ziyarat of 12th Imam. It's Ziyarat of every day, right? For every Imam, every Masoom. And on a Friday, we recite that he's Safi Nijah. So the 12th Imam is known as Safi Nijah, and Imam Hussein is known as Safi Nijah. So therefore, as the companions of that Safiyyah bin Nijah, the way they were, in terms of their belief, in terms of their ikhlas, I mean, this itself is a mawzu, this is a topic. The companions of the 12th Imam, who is also Safiyyah bin Nijah, must be like that. There were 72 and 18 Bani Hashim, but here we need 313 according to the traditions. So we have to really reach to the rank. We have to keep put our feet right where there was a feet of Zuhair, of Habib ibn Mazahir, of Abul Fazl Abbas. You know, so we have to reach that level in terms of our understanding, in terms of our ma'rifah. That is required for to help and to be with the 12th Imam, to help for the cause of 12th Imam. That Safiyyah Nijah fought, it was a battle, and also for the 12th Imam, as mentioned, saying there's a lot of commonalities. And this itself will become a mawzu which we don't want to get into, in terms of the 12th Imam and Imam Hussein. So that is required. And as we are in the month of Safar, which seems to be the most painful of all months for the Ahl Bayt alayhi salam. Maybe as in Mafati did mention that Prophet regarded this month to be a bad omen. There are sadaqah and charity and du'as in this month to be recited, been mentioned by the Ahl Bayt and by the Prophet. Could be that the Prophet, as things were unfolded to him of the future, everything was unfolded to the Prophet. So he might have seen the suffering of Ahl Bayt in suffering. As they say, after the Shahadat of Imam Hussain alayhi salam, and they were arrested, taken to Kufa, and Kufa through 15 different villages, or if you want to call cities, the Ahl Bayt were taken with the heads of the Shuhada. And finally, they reach Sham, Syria, on the first of Safar. And Sham was the worst place. Syria was the worst. Because the fourth Imam, when they asked him that, where was it the most difficult part for you? He says, Asham, Asham, Asham. He says three times, it was Syria, 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 Asham. And sometimes it's very difficult to really interpret or really believe that this type of sayings could come from an Imam Masoom or from a Masoom. For example, when Imam Hussein was about to be born, Jibreel comes and tells to the Prophet that, you know, glad tidings, and Hussein is about to be born. Tell Fatima, give the good news. But Hussein will be sacrificed in this fashion. And Janab Fatima says, La hajata fi. I don't want this child. It's very difficult to really interpret. You know, Fatima saying, I don't want Hussein. I don't want this child. Obviously, which mother will want a child to be sacrificed in? Every mother wants his child to flourish and grow and live long and be happy. So yes, they were of great maqam, but at the same time they have that worldly aspect to them as well. They were insan. Right? I'm nothing but a man like you, but why he comes to me? So here there's a statement from the fourth Imam where he says that in Sham, that, oh, I wish my mother wouldn't have given me birth. Because the turmoil, because the pain of Sham was so painful for the Imam, that he utters a statement where, you know, common people, how we speak, oh, that they gave me this pain, you know. So the Imam, with that understanding, with that ma'rifat, with that great maqam, with that kamal and perfection, have to utter such a word, because it wasn't easy for them in Sham, in Syria. For days they were kept outside Syria. The whole city was decorated. One of the Sahabi of the Prophet was returning from a business trip. He says that, is it some type of carnival or a feast or a festival or an Eid that I don't know? Every corner of Syria, every street, every lane and every alley, there were people celebrating. And here he asked that, what is it? And he says that, no, there were some rebels who did an uprising against Yazid, against the Khalifa, and they were crushed and they were killed. And here, this man says that, where are they? They are about to enter from the city door, from the main door. And finally, as he notices that there were heads on the spears, there were women tied to their necks, and he saw a man whose hands were tied to his neck, who had chains in his feet and hands, barefooted. His back was bleeding. The chains that were put around his neck have wounded him. He goes to this man near and he inquires that, "Who are you?" And he says that, "I'm Ali ibn al-Husayn." And to this he cries. And here the fourth Imam says that, "O man, you seem to have some soft corner in your heart for us." Then this man inquires that, "I'm one of the Sahabi of the Prophet of your great grandfather. Can I be your ransom? Can I do anything for you?" The fourth Imam says that, "Why don't you ask these men who are holding the spears which have the heads of the Shuhada to move a bit further, because my aunts, my mom, women and children are without chador and without hijab. So that when these men with the heads of the Shuhada move forward, the crowd will go towards that and they will not look towards our women." This man goes there and he pays some money to these people who were holding the heads of the Shuhada. They went a bit forward and then Imam comes back again. And he comes back to Imam again and inquires once again, "Can I do anything?" He says that, "O man, will you provide some chador for our women?" And the tradition says that he brings the chador, and however they were snatched away. It wasn't easy. And then when they were taken into that court of Yazid, where there were ministers and foreigners, and as all of those who have visited Sham have seen that palace, how big it is, that mosque, how big it is. And there, all of the women were chained and lined up. And here Shimr was calling one name after the other. And that name comes in the middle of the people, Zainab bint Ali. And she hides herself behind Fissa. This is the daughter of Ali, whose name been called in public. It wasn't easy for Imam Sajjad alayhi salam. This is one of the reasons he says Ash-Sham. Then the reporter reports that, "I see a young child who might be of 3 or 4 years of age. She is not standing properly on the ground. She is putting one step on the floor and she is picking up the other step. And then as soon as she lifts the foot, all of the ladies, they bend down again. Because the ladies were tied by their neck in one chain. And also that little girl was tied in the neck as well. So when the ladies were standing up, that rope was pulling the neck of the little girl who was the daughter of Hussein, Ruqayya. And as it was going in this fashion, a man moves forward from the crowd and he says that, "What a beautiful girl this little girl is. I want to buy her as a slave." Hearing this, Zainab says, "Sajjad, go protect Ruqayya, because she is the amana, she is the trust that Hussein have given to me." This is Ash-Sham. And that prison of Sham, in which they say that the amount of food which was given was so little that Hazrat Zainab salamu alayha would give the food to the little children and to other women and would not eat anything which had made her weak, and because of which she would sit and do her namaz al-layl, salatul layl. It was Sham. And to the extent where you find that tragic event where that little girl of Hussein, Ruqayya, starts to cry while she's Imam Hussein in the dream. And here it's been reported that all of the women, while Ruqayya was crying, they all started to cry. And this cries of the ladies disturbed the sleep of Yazid. And here Yazid inquires that, "What's going on?" And he was informed that the little girl of Hussein is crying for her daddy. And here, Yazid says, take the head of Hussein. And the head of Hussein was brought in the prison. The head was passed on eventually, and it was given into the hands of the little girl of Hussein. A four-year-old takes the head of Hussein, and you know what Marcia she recites? What was the first thing she asked? That, oh father, have they given you water before they sacrifice you? And then the second thing she asked that, oh father, who have made your beard so red with blood? Oh father, after you were gone, they burnt our tent. Oh father, after you were gone, they pulled my earrings. Oh father, after you were gone, they used to beat us on our back. They used to slap us. Oh father, when my brother used to go to sleep, they will shake the chain and he would wake up from the sleep. Oh father, after you were gone, we walked barefooted on the thorns and in the heat. As she was speaking to the father, all of a sudden she goes quiet. And as she goes quiet, here Zainab says, Sajjad, look at Sakina, look at the little girl, why is she quiet? And here when Sajjad shakes the shoulder of the little girl, and Sajjad says, Inna Allah wa Inna Ilayhi Raji'un, my sister is no longer with me. And it was in this prison, a small grave was being opened by Sajjad in that very chains. And in that very dress, that kurta which was half burnt and torn, the little girl of Hussein was buried. اللهم انا بظاهري بطاعتك وباطني بمحبتك وقلبي بمعرفتك وروحي بمشاهدتك وسر الاستغلال اتصالي بحضرتك يا ذا الجلال والاكرام يا الله بحق محمد وال محمد forgive all our sins and the sins of our marhumin and make them special guests of Abba Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam. Ya Allah, bi haqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, give us strength and tawfiq to do the ziyarat of Abu Abdullah Hussein in Karbala. Amen. And also that we achieve the shafaat of Imam Hussein in the hereafter. Amen. Ya Allah, bi haqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect Shiyan of Amir al-Mu'mineen, no matter where they live in this world. Ya Allah, bi haqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, make this ziyarat of Imam Hussein, the ziyarat of Arba'een, for all of these awwar of Imam Hussein who have gone from all over the world safe and sound. And all of them return back home safely with the acceptance of their ziyarat. Ya Allah, bihaqq Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, protect tamam maraji azam al rabbaniyun, particularly Ayatul Sistani and Ayatul Khamenei. Give them strength to create the groundwork for the return of our 12th Imam. Ya Allah, here's the zuhur of our 12th Imam. And include us and our friends and family members and friends as his faithful companions. Rahmallahu man qara al-fatiha li arwahi al-mu'mineen wal-mu'minat, makhsusan the arwah of the mu'mineen who are present here. الفاتحة مع الصلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.